Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend, Rob Langevin. But before we get to Rob, this is currently potentially being brought to you by Fantrax, as they're going to be pushing some of our shows out over their radio channel, which is creatively named Fantrax Radio. So check them out on Twitter. Now, Rob, we, for 2 weeks in a row now, have recorded a show the day before a huge transfer. Obviously, lots of transfers happening, but this one in particular being Morata moving to Chelsea, assumedly as their starting striker. What was your take on that, both as a fantasy analyst and as a fan of Chelsea?
I'll touch on my fandom first. Thanks for having me on the show, and welcome everybody. It's kind of a longer introduction for Kevin, so I was waiting bated breath today, so... But yeah, so love the signing from a Chelsea perspective as a fan. Anytime somebody who with his capability and name behind him gets a number 9 jersey, automatically assume he has to start. From a fantasy perspective, he comes in with, you know, a nice tidy price. So he comparatively, you know, you look at who he's comparatively around. You got Lacazette, and then you basically have the people above him, Lukaku, Kane, you know, and Aguero. Listen, he's gonna score goals at Chelsea. I heard people were in an uproar. You know, they paid $70 million and he didn't even start today in the morning or yesterday in the morning session in the morning game in China. Relax, he's had three days to practice with the team. There's not to be much expected from that. He's gonna be the tried and true starter when all said and done. Just look at what he did in abbreviated time last year. He had 15 goals, 4 assists in less than 1500 minutes. The only thing I worry about is his durability for the full gamut of games that Chelsea's going to play. You know, they do have additional, you know, European-based championship games coming, and, you know, the 38-game season, which he's never really played a full, you know, gamut of minutes. He's never eclipsed the 1500-minute mark in his whole entire playing career. Yes, he's only 24, and yes, at 24, I was full of vinegar and running around looking for my next 30-pack, but I'm expecting good things from him. Chelsea's going to score, and I believe that his striker, which I think fits their, you know, the surrounding players around him better.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a good signing. Had an article for Goal this week, not to plug my stuff too much. I'm not going to like read out the hyperlink, but I had seen some people saying, you know, they'd much rather have Lukaku, and Lukaku isn't really the fairest comparison, but somebody that he ended up being really similar to was Alexander Lacazette. So per 90 minutes, which is basically what you have to do for a player like Morata because he played so few minutes, but seeing like their efficiency. Alvaro Morata, a goal 0.01 every 90 minutes. Lacazette, 1.03. Shots, 3.62 for Morata to 3.16 for Lacazette. Shot accuracy, 63% for Morata, 65% for Lacazette. They are very, very close in what they're bringing. Mm-hmm. Both of them coming to top five attacks. Both of them seemingly going to be the guy from day one. So they are very similar. So if there's anybody out there that thinks one is great and the other one's garbage, you need to kind of bring those opinions a little bit closer to neutral.
Absolutely. So Kevin, here's the choice. If you had to choose one striker right now between Morata and Lacazette, who are you going with?
One of them is currently in my most recent draft of my team, and it's Morata.
All right. Excellent. I see that. I would pick Morata over at Lacazette as well. I think Chelsea have offer just a tad bit more offensive potential than Arsenal. I'm not saying they're going to score, you know, 15 or 20 more goals than them. You know, Arsenal scored 77 last year. That number is a good number for Arsenal. I think Chelsea, you know, I think they scored 82. So they're very similar in goal output. So, you know, I just like Morata, you know, to be a little bit better, more involved in the offense. I think he can get, you know, more assists and more BAPS, we'll call it.
And he did get an assist in that match you were mentioning.
Yeah.
For Batshuayi. I will say that Lacazette's first five matches are kinder. Mm-hmm. But I agree, on the season, I think Morata will have a better one. And for that 0.5, at this point, I am willing to gamble on it, considering Lacazette's ownership is hilariously high.
Yeah. And it's not like we're knocking either guy. They're both tops. They're going to both finish in the top seven. You know, God willing, they all stay injured, and you know,
they can all stay healthy.
They all don't get injured. How about that? They all don't get injured.
Right.
And you know, they don't get in fights with their manager or people, you know, flip out and go crazy. But they're going to finish in the top seven in scoring. You can pencil it in. You know, the forward ranks are basically not set in stone, but they're kind of chiseled with movable pieces like Scrabble.
Mm. Yeah. Unfortunately, for some of the people we're about to mention, a lot of them have not been added to the game yet.
Yeah.
One of them, another striker that's been on the move. I think it was announced yesterday as we record. Chicharito, a.k.a. Javier Hernandez. I think that's backwards. I think his a.k.a. might be his nickname. But the point is he moves to West Ham, which we discussed a lot last week. We didn't really dive far on the Chicharito stuff because we weren't 100% sure yet. That is now confirmed. Now, I saw a horrible stat for West Ham fans on Twitter today, which was
33 strikers.
Yeah, had fewer. I forget the percentage, but like the majority of them had scored three or fewer goals.
Yeah, they've signed 33 strikers in like the last whenever the year was, and 23 of them have scored less than three goals in that time. It's not a good thing for the Hammers at all.
So that is less than promising. But as Sean Whetstone, who contributes as a West Ham fan on the Premier League podcast that we do on this channel, said, the Jose Mourinho came out and claimed that Chicharito's going to score 20 goals and West Ham look like they're vying for a title, which is very strong words.
Wow.
But what do you think about that 20-goal mark? You think it's high, or do you think with Arnautovic, Antonio, and Lanzini behind him that it could be possible?
West Ham's one of those teams where the sum of their parts are not as great as the, you know, the whole. I think that they're
The individuals should be better.
Yeah, I think that they're going to steal from each other enough that it'll knock them down. 20 goals is a lofty thing. You know, I mean, he does have Premier League experience. He's got 59 goals in 157 career EPL games, which is a phenomenal rate for a striker. I mean, that's not nothing to knock at. But I just don't think with West Ham's scoring ability, I think there's not going to be enough for him to feast on by himself. I think Lanzini gets his. I think Ayew gets his. You know, I think Michael Antonio gets his. It's going to be spread around. I'll be as bold as what he was just saying. I'll say they'll have four guys that score 12 or more. How's that? That's being bold.
Oh, at West Ham?
Yeah, I think they have four guys that score 12 goals or more.
Is it those four?
I'd probably say those probably the favorite four. I mean, unless you know, Aaron Cresswell goes completely crazy,
or Zabaleta,
you know, or you know, Arnautovic gets hot and sees a long string of games you know, played and stuff. But I mean, they do have the potential to score goals. I just don't think that you can you know, say, point a finger at Chicharito and be like, okay, you're going to score more. You're going to score 25% more than everybody else.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, if he gets 14 and then everybody else falls down in line behind him, I think that West Ham would probably finish in the top eight.
Yeah, both of us were very big on a certain West Ham midfielder to start the year in Andre Ayew. Now with all these signings, where do you stand on him?
I am tentatively cooled on him. He's one of those guys where I'm waiting to see the first one or two games of the season to see how they line up, see how well, you know, Lanzini is playing, see the fitness level and where Arnautovic fits in, where Ayew fits in, where, you know, if and when they do sub Chicharito off and who comes on and how they reform after that. West Ham's going to be one of those teams in the beginning of the year that I'm definitely keeping a keen eye on because they have a lot of parts and their prices, almost all of them are, you know, 7.5 or below that you could probably, you know, find some value in. I think Chicharito's value is probably going to come in at probably 8. I would say that would probably be a good price because he does have, you know, previous, you know, form in the EPL. And he's kind of a, you know, he's a fancy name. He's not awesome, but he's got a name behind him. So at 8.0, he comes into the conundrum of, well, is he Firmino good or is he just Chicharito good?
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see. Although if you ask me right now, I'd probably say that Chicharito scores as many or more goals than Firmino. That just isn't really what Firmino brings as a forward. We talked about this a lot last year. His strength is involving everyone else in the attack more than being the point man, and that was kind of evidenced by his 11 assists, which I think would have been the most for a forward. Oh, yeah, I hate that I went out on that limb, but I think it was most, but only 11 goals, which was, you know, barely top 10. So.
But the funny thing about you mentioning actually Liverpool, and I mentioned Firmino first, and then you brought up Liverpool. Mm. West Ham, when you look at their players, is basically like a poor man's Liverpool. Mm. They are basically, when you match up how they are going to come at you on the pitch, you know, the players that they offer as compared to what Liverpool does, they're like the 90% version of what Liverpool can offer from a fantasy basis. You know, like, you know, Lanzini's like maybe,
just how they have like four guys that ownership is all going to be split between.
Yeah, it's going to be completely diversified scoring wise, and that's the same way that Liverpool is, and that's why I have problems finding someone on Liverpool that I can be like, all right, I completely trust you, because Coutinho goes in spurts, Mane is, you know, in the wind, he's probably going to be owned a lot. Firmino is a striker now, so do you really want to invest at 8.5 on him? And the other parts that are around them, you don't really trust any of them. It's the same way with West Ham right now.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting to see where all these West Ham pieces fall while we're talking about too many players at the same positions. Manchester City have now spent over £100 million on wingbacks. We already talked about Kyle Walker. Well, I guess it was a couple weeks ago now. Now they bring in Danilo from Real Madrid. For people that didn't see him much, that's because he was the understudy to who I think is the best right back in the world right now, and Danny Carvajal. And then they also bring in Benjamin Mendy from Monaco. The left back position looks like it's all Mendy's now, but what do you think about the whole Walker Danilo issue on right back? Because when Walker moved there, the whole point was that he was finally going to be getting minutes, and now they bring in a player that's only £15 million less than him.
Yeah.
To back him up, are you concerned now that this could turn into the Walker and Danilo show as opposed to last year when it kept being caught up between Walker and Trippier?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that, you know, they bring in a high profile name like Danilo who got some decent run at Real. His best year was 2 years ago. It wasn't just last year. You know, like you said, he was the understudy to Carvajal. What did I say his name? Daniel Carvajal. Carvajal. That's it. Just like the American boxer a couple years ago.
There you go.
So when they did this signing, the first thing that popped in my head was like, oh, no, they're going to either, you know, run the risk of having a bad rotation risk, which I think is probably the most remote thing. Or, you know, I don't think that they're going to push Walker up because he doesn't push anybody else up the pitch that's going to be, you know, movable. Look at the players that City has through the midfield. So it's even if they play like a different kind of formation than they played last year, and he plays almost like – if Walker plays almost like an Alonso role, I don't see how that would fit. So it's a completely different signing. I think that Man City is just buying names just to buy names right now because, you know, look at the money they've spent, over $200 million this year in the transfer window. And the funny thing is they're not done yet. From everything I read, they're still on the, you know, on the waiver wire looking for names, looking with an open checkbook. So, I mean – it's definitely it's going to be a tough thing to actually buy into a City defender. And it's funny, if you look at the City defenders that are listed right now, there's only four listed on the official game right now, and these two guys haven't been added yet. It's going to be interesting because their prices are going to fall right in range with everyone else that's in there. They're probably going to be 6.5. So their ownership is going to be minute to begin the year. And then when City starts weeding out who they're going to play and who plays where and who plays in the tournaments and who doesn't, you know, people start buying in and having them as, you know, one of their fancy defenders at 6.0 or above.
Do you think that because they've now bought three players that all would have been better than their options last year, that they are now intrinsically a better defense? Or do you think it'll take time with them and with a new goalkeeper and Ederson to figure things out?
Well, I think they're going to be better just based on the fact that they were awful last year. I still think their defense hinges around Vincent Kompany's health. I still think he is the keystone to that defense. I know you can add big names like Kyle Walker and Benjamin Mendy and Danilo and put them around other people, but just look at those names and compare them to who else that would play there. Would you feel more comfortable with Otamendi in the middle? Would you feel more comfortable with John Stones in the middle compared with those names? The only person there that makes them all better is Vincent Kompany. That's just me.
Yeah, that is not a bad shout. And it is worth noting that while we're both kind of bemoaning City's defensive abilities, they did finish last year fourth defense and goals allowed. So not nightmarish, but they certainly didn't offer much going forward in fantasy as defenders, as we mentioned last week.
Yeah.
Walker had 5. Chelsea leaving the Blues is Kurt Zouma, who goes to Stoke, assumedly replacing a similarly physical center back in Bruno Martins-Indy, who has been recalled by Porto and, for all intents and purposes, looks like he's sticking there at the moment. What do you think, Zouma at Stoke? Do you think, I mean, he's obviously a very talented center back, had injury issues. Do you think he's the kind of player that could make the rest of Stoke's defense more viable, or maybe Butland?
I think Butland's a good buy anyway, because I think he offers that kind of heat and appeal from last year.
He's potential saves, yeah.
Yeah, bend, don't break, get your fair amount of clean sheets, you know, between 10 and, you know, 12 clean sheets on the year, and face a, you know, not an absorbent amount of shots on goal, but get your saves from those when they count. So I think that Butland is, you know, I think personally I'd place him in one of the top 5 spots from a fantasy key perspective for ownership, like throughout the whole year. I'm talking like the guy I'm probably going to keep falling back to, you know, because he's probably going to have a good game, then have tough matchups for a while, and then have a good game, good 2 or 3, and then fall back. But, you know, Zouma doesn't hurt what Stoke has defensively. I mean, when you're walking out there with Eric Peters, Ryan Shorecross, Jeff Cameron, and Glenn Johnson as your best 4, how can he not make them better than those? He's more athletic than Shorecross. He's a better player than Cameron. He's more athletic than Johnson. The only player I think that you could probably make a case for from a fans perspective is if what we saw from 2 years ago from Eric Peters happens again, he's at 5.0 and Zouma's at 5.5. So I think that you can make the question saying, well, if Peters does this, he's more of a better player going forward because he actually can contribute to an offensive part of the Stoke, you know, buildup. Whereas Zouma's more, I think, that the stay-at-home guy there. I don't think he's going to be involved as much going forward. I love Kurt Zouma here. I think he's probably the best defender there, you know, besides Eric Peters from a fantasy perspective now.
Yeah, I think he may even be better. I mean, the benefit of Eric Peters is stability. It's never been upside. But as a third defender, you know, he used to provide that a lot at 4.5, but at 5.0, we've mentioned the whole position has inflated some.
Yep.
So it's not like he's heinously priced at 5.0, but I just think there are a lot of other people I would rather have, and I do think I'd rather have Zouma for that 0.5 more. Then quickly, 3 more defenders. Riedewald to Palace. Replacing Mamadou Sakho, we would believe. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to get him back after his terrific loan stint last year.
Friend of the show, Mamadou Sakho.
Right. We've talked about Frank de Boer's defensive influence in the past. I assume as long as he comes in at 5 or below, you're interested?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And playing time right off the bat is important for him. You know, I read a statement after de Boer wants to get younger. Yeah. And that's the best way that Palace can get better is to get younger and develop these players when they're 18, 19, and 20 years old. And when this happened, I texted you and I said, better long-term fantasy option for Crystal Palace. I said, Ruben Loftus-Cheek or Radewald. You know, and it all depends because
on who Cheek, plays, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Cheek, they don't play the same position by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, they both have their yays and nays from a fantasy perspective. It all depends on how much Palace is willing to buy into playing the youth right off the bat.
Yeah. And something that is very interesting to me, we just talked about Zouma's impact on the rest of the players around him. If Riedewald can come in and do what he's done at Ajax in the past of shoring up that back line, what about a little Scott Danlove? He's down to 5.0, just a year removed from being the highest scoring defender in terms of like actual goals, not fantasy points.
Yeah.
You know,
don't get me restarted on my Scott Danlove.
I'm just saying, I was looking through a lot of the clubs earlier for a segment we're going to do after this, and saw he was only at 5.0, only owned in 1% of teams. It's enough to make you start thinking.
But it definitely does.
Yeah, but we don't know what Riedewald's price will be yet, and that will obviously bear some weight here. Also, Hennessy would be interesting. If they don't bring in anyone else, and we think the defense can improve as much as we believe they may, all of a sudden, we talked about how that crap, they're the decent goalkeeper for a crap team, like every year it's a new one. It could be Crystal Palace this year. We don't know yet, but just kind of keep an eye on it. The last two, Andy Robertson to Hull, I liked him a lot at Hull to start last season. Didn't really have the year we expected. Do you think this is more of a case of Robertson becoming fantasy relevant or kind of turning Milner somewhat fantasy irrelevant?
I think it's more of turning Milner fantasy irrelevant. Robertson's going to get his fair shake at some games, but Milner's going to get some fair shake at games as well. So I think they basically negate each other from an ownership value. And, you know, I like Andy Robertson. I think he's a good player. You know, he had 73 points last year with Hull. He just succumbed to the fact that Hull just was not very decent defensively for most parts of the year. You know, from when Marco Silva took over, they did okay, but then they went up and down. It's like a big roller coaster. Hull's a roller coaster. But Liverpool, I don't see him getting all the starts, and I don't see him getting all the sits. So they basically are going to steal from each other and basically negate the value of each.
Yeah, I'm probably staying away from that whole situation. And lastly, people may kind of overlook this one, but he will probably be their starting left back day one. For Newcastle, it's Javier Manquillo, who was pretty unimpressive at Sunderland, but kind of like Robertson, as you said, wasn't necessarily surrounded by glorious players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look at what Newcastle is putting on the pitch. I know they did lead the championship in clean sheets, if I'm not mistaken, right? I believe they did that last year.
Yeah, I think so.
So I mean, they do have a lot of sneaky sleeper or post hype type fantasy guys. You know, you have DeAndre Yedlin, you have Kieran Clark, who's we've gone over. He's a good set piece target that Newcastle likes to look for, and then you get Javier Manquillo comes in. I at his price, the same price as everybody else that you'd really want to own there at 4.5. You know, he's coming from a bigger club, and you know, because he transferred in from the Spanish league. So, I mean, could you do worse than 4-5 from Javier Manquillo from getting a Newcastle guy? He looks like a that fourth or fifth defender that you could probably rotate. And, you know, Newcastle has one of those schedules at the beginning of the year that you can actually rotate with, because they have a tough game, two or three cheapies, then a tough game, and then two or three cheapies. And, you know, you're looking for value when you build out your fantasy, especially defense, because of the prices that we've talked about ad nauseum. You know, you're looking for that 4.5 guy that has that, you know, that flair or that differential or that, you know, that difference maker. And, you know, everybody's looking at, you know, guys like, you know, Olsen or from Swansea or, you know, Alfie Mawson, but they're actually more their price is bigger than that of Manquillo. So, I mean, if you're looking for like a guy that's going to be less owned and not looked at as much to begin the year, Then look at Javier Manquillo. I'm not jumping on the Javier Manquillo bandwagon here because it sounds like I'm preaching him, because right before we started, I mentioned it to Kevin that we should have him in the transfer season. I thought it'd be interesting because everyone's looking for a cheap defensive entry into their, you know, starting defenders. It doesn't have to start every week, but he's a good guy that you're going to have in there at 4.5. He's probably not going to hurt you, and you know, you don't have to play him every week is basically the point.
Yeah, and with Yedlin being the second most owned Newcastle player, it would be an interesting differential if they did manage to do some solid defensive things like, say, Middlesbrough did in their first half last season. All right, we are going to take a quick break and come back by running through all 20 teams like we did in the TOGA special, but this time it'll be all FPL with players that we think are overrated and underrated from each team. We'll be back in a sec.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And after those lovely words from our sponsor, who we definitely know who that is and love their product and or service, we're going to move into overrated and underrated for each club. Oh, wait, are we rotating or are we just doing all of them?
Whatever you want to do, man. It's your world. I'm just riding in the back seat.
Well, I wrote down people for all of them, so I guess we're doing all of them. Okay. So for me, for Arsenal, my overrated option is Hector Bellerin. He was included in an overrated piece that I wrote for Goal that caught a little bit of traction in actual FPL world, which led to people yelling at me about how I got their prices wrong because they're two different games.
and
goals budget is out of 75 instead of 100, and there are no bench players. There's a lot of differences. So for people to be like, oh, that's a horrible call. But Bellerin, as we've mentioned before, was the highest priced defender last year, didn't live up to it, ended up closer to the bottom end of the top 15. Arsenal, not particularly great at clean sheets. I think that Bellerin specifically was 18th in clean sheets last season. And Arsenal have not strengthened that position. They haven't strengthened their goalkeeper. They haven't brought in anybody in front of him. I know that you are a lover of Granit Xhaka. And so if he plays more minutes, gets less cards, and can stabilize, maybe then Bellerin would be more useful. But his attacking skills were down as well. So I'm very much not a fan of Bellerin. The one that I think is underrated is Alexis. As long as you think he stays in the Premier League, he has to be in your team. And even if you don't think he's staying, as I mentioned before, put Kane or Sanchez in your team right now regardless, because it's so much easier to move down from them than if you don't start with them and all of a sudden need to find, like we were talking about Morata earlier, all of a sudden you need 2.5 if you want to bump up.
Yeah.
I think Alexis somehow is the underrated player, although I do add the addendum that that's largely because people think he may leave the league. Who do you have there for Arsenal?
Overrated for me. You stole my guy, and I don't want to be repetitive here because we do have to go 19 more teams. Yeah, so I'll change it up. Yeah, no. So I'll go with Peter Cech. Kevin mentioned, I don't believe in any of their clean sheets. You're basically buying into a name there. At 5.5, he's $1 million more than you should be investing in a starting goalkeeper. Go look at Hennessy, like Kevin mentioned. Look at Ben Foster, guys that you can rotate in and out. If you get stuck with Cech, you're not going to rotate much. You're going to sit there with his 5.5, and he's probably not going to go up or down much because he's not going to be owned that much. And that's what stimulates the economy of the fantasy world. Guys I don't like, I don't like anybody on Twitter right now talking about how Aaron Ramsey is a power seven guy. Sorry to any of our friends out there, especially FPL Hints Chief. I'm sorry if you're listening to this, dude. Aaron Ramsey is not part of anything powerful. The only thing he's powerful at is maybe eating a power bar on the power bench.
Or sipping Powerade.
I don't see how he is part of anything. Yeah, he's got a 7.0 price tag. But what is he going to do to your fantasy team at 7.0 that Granit Xhaka can't do at 5.5? Yeah, I know Granit Xhaka is going to get more yellow cards. But guess what? Granit Xhaka is guaranteed minutes. That's all that matters to me.
Ramsey's going to score 4 or 5 goals?
Yeah. Ooh. I guarantee Granit Xhaka scores more goals than him this year.
Ooh. That sounds like a challenge. I will definitely blow your spot up over that and tell Chief about that.
Absolutely. So that's my Arsenal love and dislove. I'll jump right into Bournemouth here. My love interest is Charlie Daniels. I don't think he was awesome last year, and I don't think he was actually awful. I'm looking for a defender in the 5.5 to 4.5 range who can get forward, get me goals, get me assists, and is going to be on the pitch for over 2,500 minutes. Charlie Daniels is that guy, and his price tag is not going to kill you. On my dislikes, anybody who plays midfield for the Cherries, there's nothing there. Junior Stanislas, he showed glimpses and isn't. Ryan Fraser, same thing. After that, it's all basically, waiver wire fodder if you're in a draft league or in a deeper league. There's nothing there. You basically want to skip over the midfielders for the Cherries and just go to the back to the forwards and look at Josh King. So defensively, okay, and the forwards, okay for the Cherries.
But the midfield, you're not buying, I agree. There's a lot of confusion in there. It could get good. Like, I do like Ryan Fraser as a player, despite him being a tiny, tiny man. But definitely want to see how that midfield shakes out first. For me, Adam Smith, we're just always going to have this argument. Adam Smith led the defenders in the Premier League last year in assists, tied along with both Walker and Trippier at Tottenham last season. Did it in fewer minutes and in a worse defense. Now you add Nathan Ake to that back line, which is when they were good the first half of the year. You bring in Begovic, who is hilariously better than any of their options last year, especially Artur Boric. And so all of a sudden you have a player that I think is really good. Overrated for me is Jermaine Defoe. I don't know if you remember this last year. In like February, I brought up that Defoe had never scored more than 18 goals, and he was sitting on like 14 or 15 goals, and he had just scored like 2 and 5, and everybody was like losing their minds. And you know what he ended up on?
18.
Uh-huh. So just, you know, be aware of that. He was still a top 10 forward, but there are times of the season where he is unownable and times where he's a must-own. That does not mean that you should always have him on your radar, though. For Brighton, I don't have an overrated player. None of their players are over 2.5% owned. So it would seem really nitpicky to say one of them is overrated. Underrated just because people aren't paying the championship players as much love as I thought they would be. You have Glenn Murray, who scored again in a friendly today, and Anthony Knockart, who has picked up a knock. Art, yeah. But I think he'll be back for the start of the season.
Did he get injured doing art?
That would be perfect.
I'm on the same page as you. There's nobody real that's overrated there because basically the whole team is differentials. There's nobody over 6.0 price-wise, and that's Anthony Knockart and Glenn Murray. Basically, they are your fifth or third striker in any kind of, you know, format. If anybody wants to fill out their team and are into the whole 420 thing, they have a guy named Bong. That's all that matters.
That is indeed all that matters.
So, on to me for Burnley. Guy that's overrated for me, Tom Heaton.
Yep.
He's not going to repeat. The losing Michael Keane is going to be like losing the mainsail on a sailboat. Ben Mee is still there. Matthew Loughton is still there. Stephen Ward is still there. They are just not going to be the same kind of fantasy defensive team that you are expecting. Underrated for me, it's another tough one too because there are not really a lot of guys that are superiorly owned next to anybody. But if I had to pick somebody, how about Andre Gray? I like what I see from him in the preseason. I believe he had two goals the other day in a warm-up game. Yeah. Everybody was expecting the world from him last year because they were trying to buy into that new striker, new promotion, kind of, you know, catch lightning in the bottle and stick it in my pocket and run around with it kind of thing. But at 6.5, he's that third striker. Everybody's looking for differentials, and he may just be one. I don't think he's going to score more than 12 goals, but for a Burnley team, that's a ton.
Yeah. Don't need to elaborate on Heaton. Think he covered it well. My underrated is Robbie Brady, just for what he did at Norwich 2 years ago. I know last year was a disappointment, but he's getting a full preseason with them and think he could play a pretty crucial role for them this year. Now on to your beloved Chelsea. My overrated is N'Golo Kante. I know he's one of the few players that's definitely going to get his minutes, but he's going to offer very little in terms of points. And even though he has a low price, I just don't see the point of doing that to yourself. My underrated is Willian, who I said last week, and I'm starting to believe more and more is going to be the direct replacement for Hazard, at least until he is back from injury.
Yeah, and interesting news on the Hazard front. He's actually went into a little bit of training today, and he's on schedule to actually start the season on time, which is weird.
That's awful for me. Okay.
Yeah, so my guy that's a little overrated, you know, I'll start with the most owned I don't know if he still is the most owned defender in the official game, but David Luiz doesn't offer enough fantasy-wise for me. Listen, if you're going to invest in a Chelsea defender, just don't be cheap. Go in the other pocket, grab another dollar, and get Alonso. He scored a cracker of a goal today. He's going to keep doing it in the Premier this year. He's probably going to lead the league defensively for goals. And then that just ties right into my underrated guy. I don't think it's Marcus Alonso. I think it's 7.0 and percentage ownership right now at 13.8. I still think it's a bargain right now, and he's still an ownership differential.
Yeah. On to Crystal Palace. Ruben Loftus-Cheek is my overrated. It's looking more and more like he will not win that job out of camp, to use American language. I really like Andros Townsend, who is heinously low-owned at the moment compared to Zaha. He's at just 2.7, and he's only 6.0 in price. He was a top 30 midfielder last year. Like, I do think he's going to improve on last year, but he was still useful last year as well. I'm feeling a little bit of the Townsend love this year.
Nice. I completely agree. The most the underrated guy is Andres Townsend. Like you said, he finished in the top 30 in overall scoring. In other formats, he's a dynamo player. Guy that is underrated. Overrated. Patrick Van Aanholt. I don't see it. I know he's the most owned Crystal Palace defender at 4.1. Yes, he gets forward. Yes, he does things that like people like out of their defender. But at 5.5, from a Crystal Palace team that doesn't really do much defensively, and you rely on defensive players, you know, a bulk of their points do come from clean sheets. You get more for a clean sheet than you do basically, you know, getting a goal and bonus points. So Patrick Van Aanholt is my diss on that. So going into Everton, my overrated player, I'm going to go with Leighton Baines. Owned at 10.2% of leagues, 6.0. I don't buy the beginning of the season love, because if you look at Everton's schedule, it is god-awful. My underrated player, I'm going to go with Sandro at 7.5. Yeah. I think that if you build your team right and people are absorbently over-rostering Wayne Rooney right now at 21.7% of leagues, they are the same price. I think Sandro is if you had to pick a guy who's going to stay healthy all year and it was Rooney or Sandro, why wouldn't you go with the 22-year-old? Buying Sandro all day, if depending on how you configure yourself. If you go heavy through the midfield, I think Sandro and Charlie Austin at 7.5 and 6.5 are the perfect second and third strikers if you want to go next to Harry Kane.
Yeah, my overrated is Rooney at the moment, largely because of Sandro, who's waiting right there in the wings. And not to say, you know, I mentioned last week that Rooney at 7 is definitely intriguing, but I think he's in like the 20-some percent ownership mark.
Almost 22%.
Yeah, which is a lot. My underrated is kind of a two for Sandro, who you already mentioned, and Davy Klaassen, who is both a scorer and a creator. And assuming that Barkley ends up leaving, he'll be the one on the ball unless they bring in Sigurdsson, and then that just causes a whole mess.
Totally.
For now, overrated is Rooney. Underrated is Davy Klaassen. For Huddersfield, again, rude to pick anybody that's overrated because they're aren't really underrated. I think for both of us is going to be Steve Meunier, or Mooney, however we're deciding on the pronunciation there. He's tall and he's fast and he scores goals. And I think he could do pretty well in this Huddersfield team.
Yeah, and I like what I've seen from Tom Ince in the preseason games. I think he scored in three out of the four games I think they played. So at 6.0, he's a little bit pricier than what you want an initial investment from a Huddersfield player in. But he could be doing nice things. I mean, there has been some nice values in the previous years from promoted squads on guys who haven't done much in the championship but do things in the Premier League.
Yeah, and while we're talking about Huddersfield, just the perfect opportunity to bring up one of the most absurd stats, which is last year Aaron Moy had the most tackles and the most chances created for Huddersfield, which you will not see just about any other league. For Leicester, my overrated is Riyad Mahrez. He's not even that heavily owned. I just think he leaves the league with Milan sniffing all over him. Both of them, actually. And Jamie Vardy is my underrated. He still ended up last year as a top 15 striker. Obviously, a little competition there with Slimani, but he didn't really impress last year. And the Iheanacho thing that seemed imminent 2 weeks ago continues to not actually happen. So as the squad sits right now, I think Vardy's a little slept on.
Oh, I totally agree with you that Vardy is criminally underowned at, you know, he's only owned at 3.4%. At 8.5, I think that's the thing that's scaring people off. You know, he did still score 13 goals and have 8 assists last year. I know it wasn't the 24 goals from the year before, but at 8.5, to have somebody who basically finished 6th in the league in goals scored from a forward perspective, that seems like a pretty good deal. Because, I mean, you're basically paying $2 million less than basically what I just said Firmino would score. Or who was the other guy I said that would probably score 14 goals? Chicharito. So, I mean, people are going to be jumping all over Chicharito. I guarantee you when Chicharito comes in, probably about 2 days before the official game launches, he'll be at 10% owned. So Jamie Vardy is my underappreciated guy. And I can't agree with you more about Riyad Mahrez. I think that everybody's scared away by – I think Riyad Mahrez is the last player to be transferred out before the window closes. I think that exactly describes why people are just not buying into Riyad Mahrez. You know, 8.5 is the same price as Vardy, and people are just completely turned off by last year. 6-4 was not 17-11 is the best way I can say it.
Yeah.
So moving on for me is Liverpool, and basically they're who I think is overhyped here. It's got to be Firmino for me, 18.1% owned, 8.5. I'd rather go way, way low or way, way high for my strikers right now, and I'm basically skipping the entire, you know, 9, 8, 8.5 range. I'm just going from the 6.5 Charlie Austin, and I'm skipping over Firmino's, you know, that price bracket and going into the Morata, Lacazette territory. I don't think that he does enough. I don't think he scores enough. I don't think he will assist enough. I know he did, 11-11 last year, which is a phenomenal return. I just don't think he does it again. I think there's too many parts around him that get more. You know, Mane wasn't there the whole year. I think Coutinho is the player to own. So Coutinho is way too owned for me to say that he's, you know, underappreciated right now at 33.6. So I'm going to go with Sadio Mane at 4.6 ownership. He's 9.5, but when Sadio Mane is healthy, he pedals the Liverpool bicycle, period.
All right, yeah, and Liverpool, just looking at the time and realizing that there's a Tottenham match to cover, this will be the last one of these, and then we'll follow up with the second group of 10 alphabetically next week. But for me, for Liverpool, Milner's the overrated one, as we mentioned. The fact that you have Andrew Robertson coming in, who I like a lot, and offers more going forward. I mean, James Milner literally had the least efficient crossing rate in the Premier League last year. So in DFS, interesting, because all those crosses count. In Toga scoring, less so, because those crosses aren't finding people, so they're not accurate. And even less so in the Premier League, where you want them to actually be assists. Yeah. Not sure he gets to keep his penalty mantle either, especially if he starts dropping in and out of the team. So yeah, I'm not a big Milner guy this year. The one that's being slept on in literally every format is Jorginho Wijnaldum, who towards the end of the year really started turning on the flare and scoring goals. And as we mentioned, he's going to get an extra match at home this year because he's going to be traveling to Newcastle. And we assume that that still counts somehow.
Yeah, it totally does.
Yeah. So that's the top 10. Like we said, next week we'll do the next 10 of the remaining Premier League teams, going through players that we think are overrated and underrated. Quickly talk through the changes we've made to our teams. I know you said you don't trust Van Aanholt. I trust him a little bit more. I mean, the goal scoring is definitely bona fide, maybe in a De Boer defense. The clean sheet will come there as well, maybe a couple more assists. But, you know, I have no money left in the bank, which is not how I think my team will be come the start of the year. But the changes were downgraded from Jesus to Morata, brought in De Bruyne, and brought in Van Aanholt. Also, I still have Forster at the back because he only faces two top 10 attacks in his first 10 matches. But Foster only faces three, and he's 0.5 cheaper. And, you know, at this point in the season, everybody's haggling over those 0.5s. So, may change that, not sure yet, but I do like the Forster-Cedric double that I have in my team at the moment. Rob, I know your current team isn't actually a team that you'd ever start the season with, but there was an interesting conceit behind it.
Yeah, I basically constructed the basis team that I'm calling it the Brexit team. It's basically players who don't play in any European-based tournaments this year, so no Champions League, no Europa. I based it on three different criteria. I based it on price, ownership, and points last year. So I kind of melded them together, and then I threw it a little bit of common sense in there. So basically, this is the best team that you could buy that of players that don't have an extra tournament this year. So basically, it leaves out seven teams: Everton, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, United, Chelsea, Spurs, and I think that's it. I think that's seven. I wasn't counting. So if you're counting at home and I miss one, tweet at me. I'm sorry.
The other one.
Yeah. This is basically, like I said, these are just speculation based on the three criteria plus common sense. So in goal, I have Schmeichel and Tom Heaton. Heaton last year, good return. Schmeichel is the next highest priced goalie with the highest point return and the most ownership. On defense, I have Nathan Ake, Cedric, Ryan Bertrand, Charlie Daniels, and Craig Dawson. Like I said, these are all guys that are just the statistics are telling me to pick these guys. And on defense, I'd actually be okay with that defense based on who they are. I know Bournemouth liked to ship goals in bunches last year, but the duo of Cedric and Bertrand right now, that is a fine, like Kevin just mentioned, Southampton's, you know, kind of cushy schedule to begin. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of ownership love there. Through the midfield, this is when you get to the front eight players, it gets a kind of little wonky, and it's basically guys who have done things in the past. And if you go on my article on Razzball.com, you'll see where the reasoning behind it all. But through the midfield, I have Gylfi Sigurdsson, Riyad Mahrez, Nathan Redmond, Wilfred Zaha, and Mikel Antonio. Basically, if you look at it, it's basically guys that are like high to moderately priced who did something or did okay last year but were great the year before. You know, so look at Gylfi. Sigurdsson is probably the best midfielder in that whole lot, but he probably won't be owned very much this year because his price tag's 8.5, and I think people are moving laterally or lower to where they can trust somebody from a non-Swansea, you know, offense. And then on my forwards, I have Jamie Vardy, Joshua King, and Christian Benteke. It's pretty funny that, you know, these three guys aren't getting much long. I know Josh King is the most owned right now. But when you look at Vardy, King, and Benteke, they were the fifth, sixth, and ninth highest scoring forwards last year in the Premier League. People don't realize that goals count everywhere, no matter how many times you get it. And then once you subtract out, you know, Diego Costa and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. That's minus two names. And then you only add Morata and Lacazette to the theory. These guys are still going to be in the top 10 in goals scored this year. So at their prices, 8.5 for Vardy, Josh King 7.5, Benteke 8.0. It's an okay team, and I still have 3.5 million in the bank. So, I mean, I know this was just – it was basically just an exercise to show the best team possible that you can get from non, you know, European-based teams or that play in tournaments. But why not? You know, we need things to talk about. This is a podcast. We bring you Fantasy Premier League news all the time, and we want to have some fun and involve some players and some things that you don't always hear.
Yeah.
So this is what we do, Kev. We have fun. We drink beer. We talk footy.
Yeah, that's always the goal. That will do it for us today. So, Rob, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you, including your new Twitter handle.
Ooh, I hope I don't mess it up. Yes, you can find me on Twitter at FPLMNOP. Yes, it is an alphabet thing. And you can find my writings and stylings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and there was a especially good one out there today on that premise that he just discussed. I am Kevin DeVries at Kevroff on Twitter. I'm the lead fantasy writer over at goal.com, so be sure to go check that out. We have three pieces coming out this week kind of related to this, an overrated and underrated, and a preview of all the Liverpool midfielders and which direction you go there. So yeah, check that out, goal.com. As we mentioned, this is now on Fantrax Radio at Fantrax Radio. And I assume there's an app involved. I don't actually know. and also be sure to listen to all of our Premier League podcasts that go up on this channel. This last one, we specifically asked supporters of, let's see, West Ham, Manchester City, Newcastle, and Liverpool who their top scorers and assisters would be, which is obviously very pertinent to you at home and your fantasy teams. So maybe that'll bide you over until next week when we'll be back. But until then, thanks for listening. And Rob has a thing that he says when we leave.
Peace.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.